From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Very exciting show. Listen, back when our show started some years ago, all of our celebrity guests were public radio personalities. You know, we knew they'd be interesting to you, our audience, and frankly, we couldn't get anybody else to do it. So we visited with the Car Guys and with Ira Glass and Robert Siegel, but there was one elusive giant of the genre we could never convince to join us. Not until today. It took 10 years, but today we capture Moby Dick. Today, Garrison Keillor joins us to play Not My Job. So, set your phasers to folksy. In the meantime, it's your turn. Give us a call. The number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, it's Michael Burns from Pasadena, California.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
I am fabulous as usual. How about yourself?
Really? Is that your typical state?
It really is good.
You know, I'll say this. Usually you ask people and you say, how are you? And you want them to say fine, because you don't want them to say, oh, I'm terrible, because then you have to hear their problems. But if you just go on about how great you are, that can be irritating too.
So I've heard.
I just want to give you a helpful tip here.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you're great, though. That's good. That's good. Well, let's see how even much better we can make your day. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a humorist and the author of the forthcoming book, Alphabet Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hi, Roy.
Hey, Michael.
Also say hello to NPR's own Allison Stewart back with us.
Hello, Allison.
Hello, Michael.
Finally, say hello to author, humorist, and the man responsible for everything you might find at Baudette.com, Mr. Tom Baudette.
Hello, Michael.
Michael, you are going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle, of course, is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice in your home answering machine. Ready to go?
I can't wait.
Neither can we. Let's do it. Here is your first quote.
How low can you go?
That was Slate's big money blog, playing the limbo and asking if it's even possible for what to drop any further.
The stock market.
Exactly, the Dow. A week after the U.S. government decided to bail out the economy with $700 billion it did not have, the Dow continued its historic plummet, and financial whizzes on TV were reduced to arguing about whether you should stuff your money into a Serta mattress or a Sealy Posturepedic. But the news is not all bad for the finance sector. Playboy magazine, that paragon of good taste, has put out a call for, quote, bear market babes. That's B-A-R-E, bear. For a woman of Wall Street nude pictorial. Yes, indeed. Playboy's attitude is, hey, women, since you've already lost the shirt off your backs, show us your racks.
Well, I think it would be far better if when banks collapse, they would actually collapse.
You mean like...
Then like, you know what happens.
Yeah, then you get the visual.
Like an imploded casino in
yeah.
Las Vegas. Just
yeah.
Boom.
Huh.
Well, the scary thing is because of that theory that it's all about people's attitudes, it turns out that the entire world economy is like Tinkerbell. If we just clap louder, we all get our pensions back, you know? It's like, I do believe in 401ks. I do. Anyway, sorry.
Well, there's opportunity in every downturn. I'm thinking of starting a website of little speeches you can give your children about why there's no Christmas presents this
yes.
year.
You haven't come up with any good ones yet?
The only thing I can think of so far is we've invested all of our money in America's uncertain future.
There you are.
This is not a really...
How about this? Santa Claus worked for Lehman Brothers. What do you say? All right. Michael, here's your next quote.
We want to thank our hosts here and... You're in my way of my script there, if you'll move.
That was Tom Brokaw delivering the only unrehearsed line of the night. During what event on Tuesday?
That would be the presidential debate.
Yes, the second presidential debate. Very good. Oh. Obama versus McCain 2, debate harder, was disappointing to the supporters of both men, who at this point want nothing more than to see their candidate rip open the other one's torso and shout insults at their innards. but no. Barack Obama used the town hall format to smoothly answer questions from voters with elegantly wrapped talking points, pausing only once or twice to heal minor ailments with a laying on of hands. And John McCain did not fulfill his promise to, quote, take the gloves off. For example, he did not bring up Obama's association with former Weather Underground member Bill Ayers, maybe because he was afraid Obama would, in vengeance, bring up the fact that McCain once served on a foundation board with John Wilkes Booth. But it was a while ago, you know? I mean, and we didn't know anything at the time. He seemed just like another actor, you know? I don't think we should hold that against McCain.
Oh, it's been a long time since that Lincoln thing.
Yeah, I know.
McCain was only 8 years old when that
All right, Michael, here's your last quote.
When are producers just going to accept the inevitable and set up a mud wrestling arena for the ladies to get down in?
That was Sheenan Govani. He's a Canadian media blogger. He was just among one of thousands of daytime TV viewers amazed at the daily catfight that has broken out on what show?
Oh, I can only put a guess at
daytime TV. I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
I, for one, do not want to see Whoopi Goldberg enjoy Behar mud wrestle.
Well, in that case, it's got to be The View.
It is The View. Barbara Walters' chat show is supposed to be an idealized version of a friendly kitchen table conversation with your pals. And it is, if your pals are insane political partisans with perfect hair. We understand there are betting pools now in offices across America as to when conservative Elizabeth Hasselbeck will finally snap and use her telekinetic powers to destroy her fellow panelists, just like Carrie did. Her bitter arguments with liberal Whoopi Goldberg and the others about the election have become a weird microcosm of modern red versus blue America, making us wish that the country as a whole had a Botoxed Barbara Walters standing by, telling us to grow up.
I actually haven't seen any of that, but it seems like every news channel you turn to is essentially five or six talking heads in frames hollering at each other and over each other.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing, Roy, but let me finish.
It is crazy. I mean, they've actually converted. I mean, this is The View. This is supposed to be cheerful daytime chat with the ladies. And they've actually changed the set to reflect the new reality. It's now an octagonal cage. You know? Carl, how did Michael do in our quiz?
Three correct answers, Peter, makes Michael a winner.
Well done, Michael. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Well done, sir. Thanks for playing. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Roy, those geniuses at Google, I love them, have come up with yet another life-changing internet application. It's a simple, free program designed to keep you from doing what?
Thinking.
No. They've already succeeded in that.
Yeah. I could have so used this in the 80s in college.
Oh, you know what it is, Allison, right?
Seriously.
It's Saturday night, say, and you've been hitting the bars, and all of a sudden you realize there's something you've always wanted to say to your ex.
So you can Google people you want to, I don't know. What? Something you always wanted to say to your ex, you probably said it. That's why she's your ex. I don't know. Some kind of little hate mail thing.
Not quite. Can I ask Allison?
Yeah.
Allison, what is it?
You know when you maybe have a cocktail or a glass of wine or a beer and then you get on the phone and you call somebody I really miss you, man. I really wish you'd come back to me. But you do that in the email form? Don't you wish you could get an email back sometime?
Yeah.
So, Google's figured out how to get the email back.
Oh, I see. They take it back.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Right. Sort of. Close enough. But it is to prevent you from drunk emailing.
Oh, I see.
The application is called Mail Goggles. And it activates itself late at night and on weekend evenings. Before you send an email, you have to solve math problems. It's all true. The difficulty of which you set yourself beforehand based on how much you drink and how good you are at math. If you can't solve the problems, it saves the email and tells you to go to bed. Brilliant, right?
Boy.
The math problem things works much better than the beta version, which asked users to answer such test questions as, you're not going to sit there and take that, are you?
Math problems. Well, what if you were just never any good at math? Doesn't seem fair.
Well, I know.
You should be able to take the English major version.
You have to name all four little women, things like that.
Things, yeah, exactly.
Joe Beth.
Yeah. Oh, I'll just go to bed.
That was her name, Joe Beth. Oh, God, Joe Beth.
Math sucks. You don't even have to spell it. All you have to do is yell it.
Thanks, everybody. It's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, this is Trish Martinelli from Beaver Creek, Ohio.
Ohio. Trish, you live in a swing state. That's exciting. Have you been able to see any of the candidates?
You know, actually, I was at the event where Sarah Palin was introduced to the nation.
Were you really? You were right there?
I was.
Wow, what was that like?
Well, it was kind of like a rock concert with really old people.
I know.
The music was better.
Yeah. Trish, welcome to the show. Now, you're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Trish's topic?
To err is human, and man, am I one heck of a human.
You know the old saying, for want of a nail, a horse was lost, and for the want of a horse, I lost $3,000 at the track. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about a small mistake that changed someone's life in a pretty big way. Choose the real story from the week's news, you'll win Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to play?
I am.
All right, first let's hear from Tom Baudet.
How do you get charged with unlawful child abduction and child abandonment on the same day? Ask Joseph Lombardi of Tacoma, Washington. Tuesday was the divorced father's turn to pick up his 12-year-old daughter at school. Talking on his cell phone when a girl jumped in the back seat of his blue Volvo wagon, he drove away. You're not my dad, she yelled at him. Please don't start with that again, said Lombardi. Distracted by his call and weary of these post-divorce tirades. Take me to my mom, the girl screamed. If you say one more word, Lombardi said, and then drew his finger playfully across his neck. The girl retreated into a stunned silence. Meanwhile, back at the school, a panicky mom in a blue Volvo wagon was calling police, and a severely distressed, forgotten daughter was calling her mom, who then gleefully also called the police. Lombardi, who has now spent $10,000 on lawyers, advises others, don't drive while talking on your cell phone. Don't drive a Volvo to a private school pickup.
A guy picks up the wrong daughter at school, and that makes all the difference. Your next story of a tiny life-changing error comes from Allison Stewart.
A blonde Connecticut woman accidentally dyed her hair brown and sued the cosmetic company for distress. She says the box of dye she bought to boost her blonditude actually contained brown hair dye, and apparently the horror of walking around as a gasp brunette caused Charlotte Feeney to go on antidepressants after she suffered, quote, anxiety and headaches. Feeney told a judge, a real live judge, that not having golden tresses meant she no longer had more fun, and having to trudge through life with all that brown stuff on her head deprived her of her social life, and she could only leave the house with a hat on. Quote, I can never go back to my natural blonde hair, Feeney stated. I feel fake about that. Also, blondes do get more attention than brunettes. Of course, emotionally, I miss that. End quote. What was the outcome of the bottle blonde battle? The judge tossed the case. A spokesperson for L'Oreal responded about Ms. Feeney. She's not worth it. Okay, that's not true, but I bet they thought it.
All righty then, a story of a blonde using the wrong hair dye and ruining her life. Your last story of a goof that multiplied into something really big comes from Roy Blunt, Jr.
Martin Brisk of Brooklyn, New York, had cockroaches. The green solution, a friend told him, was a gecko, a lizard which, turned loose in an apartment, would sustain itself on a cockroach diet. And the friend knew a guy. Never, Brisk tells this month's Pet World magazine, buy a lizard on the street. The gecko didn't look like pictures of geckos. The guy said it was a rare Australian variety. Brisk took it home, turned it loose, and that night he was awakened by a weird chuckling noise. And again, three or four times. Geckos aren't supposed to chuckle. This one did, several times a night. Brisk's girlfriend broke up with him over the lizard. He got a cat. At the first chuckle, the cat got up in bed with him and wouldn't budge. Brisk had to move the litter box into his bed. Then the so-called gecko gave birth to more chucklers. Other tenants in the building moved out. Brisk has been evicted, and his landlord is suing him. I haven't chuckled myself, says Brisk, since that lizard entered my life.
All right, then. Here are your choices. Somebody somewhere made a mistake. Was it from Tom Baudet, a man just didn't look to see what girl he was picking up from school? From Allison Stewart, a blonde used the wrong hair dye. Or from Roy Blunt Jr., a man bought a lizard from a guy on the street. Which of these was the mistake that caused so much problems in somebody's life?
Well, as the proud mom of a Mensa brunette, I'm going to have to go with the blonde.
You're going to go with the blonde becoming a brunette through no fault of her own. All right, that's your choice. That's Allison's story. Well, we spoke to someone who had some strong feelings about this error.
Everybody says blondes have more fun until you file a lawsuit with a brunette judge. It's not nice and easy.
That was Hollywood hair guy Dean Benowitz explaining the possible legal ramifications of accidentally changing your hair color. Congratulations, Trish. You got it right. Well done.
Thank you.
Very well done. You earned a point for Allison. You've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your own home answering machine. Well done. Thank you so much for playing with us today, Trish.
You go to my head and you linger like a haunting refrain, and I find you spinning round in my brain like the bubbles in a glass of champagne.
And now the game where we ask accomplished people to come on and answer questions about things they know nothing about. Now, public radio is perhaps the most disorganized system in the world. It's kind of an anarchic cooperative. But it does have its royalty. And among them, without question, is our guest today, who helped to create public radio as we know it with his show, A Prairie Home Companion, which premiered 35 years ago this year. Garrison Keillor, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I am not responsible for public radio, Peter.
You're not?
I refuse to accept responsibility.
But it's a pretty good thing.
You people are on your own.
But isn't it true? I mean, argue the point. You started the show, as I said, 35 years ago. Public radio was a pretty minor thing, but you became one of the first real stars. People started turning to public radio to hear your show, and they discovered all those other wonderful things that are now on it.
I don't recognize anything that you're saying. Accomplished. Accomplished. You apply that to pianists.
Well, let me congratulate you anyway. 35 years of Prairie Home Companion is quite remarkable.
It's just it happens when you have very poor job skills. You might get stuck in the same sort of trench.
You think so?
Yes.
So it was really a failure of you to learn to do anything else. Is what
I wasn't
you're
qualified for anything.
I understand.
As you get older, is it harder and harder to get funny? Be funny.
Could you ask me that question again?
That was Roy. Roy, go ahead.
Could you ask that question louder, please?
Have you gotten older enough that it's harder to be funny now, Gramps?
Getting older is a cinch. You just wait around. You just hang out.
Okay. I have been lucky enough to see you do your show live. It is a remarkable thing. And, of course, to see you do the news from Lake Wobegon, which most people don't know this, that you do not do that from, at least as far as I can see, any prepared notes or paper. You just wing it out there.
the text is projected onto the floorboards.
Oh, how excellent.
And onto the tips of my shoes. So
yes.
As long as I don't make eye contact with the audience, I'm fine.
I was going to ask you, because I know that you've been doing this for so long, but you do many other things. You've written many, many books, including your latest book, Liberty, a novel of Lake Wobegon. And essays, you're a columnist. One of my favorite things that you ever did, actually, was when you wrote an advice column for Salon.com, Ask Mr. Blue. And I just loved that. You were really good at that.
I advised young people such as yourself, Peter, not
yes.
to get stuck. Not to get stuck, but to be free and to be adventurous. I recommended adventure. I recommended picking up and pulling out. I was a reckless advice columnist.
Really?
Yep.
You were just sending people. You basically light out for the territories. That was your.
I advised them that, and then my daughter got to the age when I didn't want her to be reading that sort of advice.
I see. You didn't want. You thought maybe she should not light out for the territories.
No, I thought that she should go to the visitation convent and stay there until the mood passed.
Hey, I wanted to ask you as well. I know that you were doing something a little different at the end of the year in New York City.
Hmm.
Do you know of which I refer?
I'm celebrating my daughter's birthday.
That's exciting.
In December.
No, I thought you'd be doing some singing.
Singing? I do sing.
Yes.
I sing now and then.
Yes.
In New York, I sing sometimes walking down a street. It's a protective measure in New York. If you can convince other people that you're a lunatic, nobody's going to bother you.
Right.
And the waves part in front of you.
Have you found certain songs more efficacious in convincing people of your dangerous lunacy?
I think the efficaciousness lies in singing in a foreign language.
Really?
Something. Norwegian works well.
Well, is it true that you're going to do a cabaret act in New York?
A cabaret, yes. I'm going to be in a cabaret.
And, a cabaret.
I'm going to sit on a stool in a black tie and tuxedo and sit in the crook of a piano and sing Gershwin and Irving Berlin.
That's very exciting.
I thought maybe you'd be draped across an auto harp.
I don't drape anymore.
No.
I used to drape.
I know you sing many occasions and have for years on Prairie Home, but will this be your first sort of solo concert outside that venue?
It'll be my first time in a dimly lit club in front of a small audience drinking mixed drinks.
Right.
Alcohol is something we've been doing without on a Prairie Home Companion for 35 years.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it really greases the skids.
Well, yeah. I used to be involved in the American theater, and I remember realizing what the secret to the American theater's revival will be once they figure it out.
Yeah.
And that is, I went to Las Vegas, and I saw a show, and they had a two-drink minimum.
Uh-huh.
Included with the ticket price. And
yes.
Like, that's it.
Yes.
Liquor them up. They'll love whatever you do.
Beer well. Ears.
There's truth in that.
Yes, I think so. Well, speaking of loving what you do, Garrison Keillor, we're so honored to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Where the men are unemployed, the women are bored, and the children tend to be obese.
Now, since you are an acknowledged authority on the stalwart, hardworking people of the northern climes, we thought we'd take you all the way around the world to Nauru, a tropical Pacific island. We'll ask you three questions about the island of Nauru. It was inspired by a profile of the island on This American Life. If you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their home answering machine. So, Carl, who is Garrison Keillor playing for?
Peter, Garrison is playing for Jackson Cooper of Wake Forest, North Carolina.
Are you ready to play, Garrison?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Well, then let's do it now before you become less ready. Nauru is a superlative little island. It is the smallest independent nation in the world, and during the 1970s, it had what other distinction? Was that A, it had the world's highest per capita income, B, it boasted what a travel magazine called, quote, the world's most repulsive beach, or C, it was the only place in the world to find the world's most poisonous frog?
In multiple choice tests I took in college, mm-hmm. C was correct about two-thirds of the time.
I just want to point out that I also took those tests and learned that lesson.
I'm guessing C, the
poisonous frog. No, actually it was A, the highest per capita income.
You know, that was going to be my second choice.
I'm sure it was. The island is more or less made of phosphate, a very valuable mineral, or I should say it was made of phosphate. The islanders got extremely rich basically selling off their island. And now that it's all gone, they live poor and unemployed on a narrow coastal ring around a rocky wasteland. Next question. Now, having run out of phosphate, the islanders have tried to come up with new money-making schemes, including which of these? A, offering their island to movie companies as a stand-in for a hostile alien planet. B, investing in a big Broadway musical. Or C, offering the presidency of their country to anyone willing to pay $40 million for it.
I've so often found that C is the correct answer. Multiple choice test.
Yes. You think so, but you don't think that I would anticipate a mind such as yours working in that sophisticated way and take counteractive measures.
Yeah, I think they've offered the presidency to somebody willing to pay $40 million.
Because wouldn't it be fun to be the president of your own little tropical island, denuded as it might be?
Of course, my second choice would have been A.
I haven't called it yet, so you get to actually vary your choice if you choose.
I'm going to switch to A.
I'm going to switch to A.
I heard something in your voice.
So the movie company is the hostile alien planet.
Yes.
It was B. An Australian financial advisor convinced them to invest $2 million in a musical biography of Leonardo da Vinci that flopped. So that did not work out for them.
I have never trusted this American life.
Really? There's just something so hip about them. It makes
and
me
now
uncomfortable.
Now I trust them even less.
I think you were wise to do so. Sadly, that remains true. You have one more question. Let's see what we do here. Optimism. Optimism.
C.
Just go for C.
Okay.
All right. Last question. Nauru, like a lot of Pacific Islands, has a problem with obesity. It's made worse on Nauru by almost 90% unemployment. To deal with the epidemic, the government did what? A, held the first ever Nauru half marathon, one lap around the island, with five entrants and no finishers. B, they started a Just One Can of Spam Tonight public awareness campaign. Or C, they held a Big Is Beautiful beauty pageant.
I've so often felt that C
yes.
is the answer on these tests.
C? You're going to go for C?
I think that they held a beauty contest.
And you were right. They did.
Oh, right.
They did beautiful beauty contest. To his credit, the president of Nauru did try to inspire the people of his island to exercise. He took a walk in public along the island's one airport runway, a whole kilometer. Mm-hmm. He was then airlifted off the island for emergency medical treatment soon thereafter.
Well, when you've paid $40 million to be the president,
that's true.
You can afford a helicopter.
Exactly. Carl, how did Garrison Keillor do in our quiz?
Garrison had one correct answer, Peter, but he needed two to win for Jackson Cooper.
Oh, well. Let me just ask you, the system of yours, how did it work out on the SATs?
I went to a land-grant university.
Yeah. Garrison Keillor is an author, storyteller, columnist, musician, and perhaps most famously the host of A Prairie Home Companion on public radio stations nationwide. His latest book is called Liberty, a Novel of Lake Wobegon. Garrison Keillor, thank you so much for joining us today. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Tom, you know that President Bush promised us that if his government was allowed to wiretap without warrants, they would only listen in on suspected terrorists. Well, of course. But as it turns out, they've also been listening in and saving recordings of what?
Are they the ones listening to quality control when you call in the tech support?
Oh, yeah, I mean, when they say, like, this conversation may be recorded.
Right.
That's the NSA. No.
No?
Because you'd be surprised how many terrorists have problems with their home computers.
Well, you'd think they would, though,
no,
at some point.
It's not it. I'll give you a hint, Tom. A lot of the calls were to 1-900-Jihadis.
Seriously. Phone-in sex line?
Phone sex. That's what they're recording, although not necessarily commercial. Terrorists aren't the only ones doing naughty things on the phone. A former NSA employee told ABC News that he and his colleagues would regularly intercept the calls of innocent Americans abroad and record them. And if they said something dirty, they'd keep the recording and pass it around the office. He told ABC he would regularly get alerts from colleagues saying, quote, there's good phone sex, or there's some pillow talk. You know, pull up this call. It would be some colonel making pillow talk, and we would say, wow, that was crazy, unquote. ABC also revealed that as part of the Treasury Department's plan to kickstart the U.S. economy, they are releasing a CD of the recordings. It's called NSA Phone Tap Confessions. Eavesdropping our pants.
That's good.
I'm relieved. At least it's not listening to Carl's answering machine.
That's terrible.
I was a little concerned there for a minute.
There would be some colonel? Is that what they said?
That's what they said, apparently.
Huh.
Well, they're getting a lot of calls. I mean, the calls they routinely intercept are placed by people abroad using satellite phones.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, if you're overseas somewhere and use a satellite phone, the NSA knows what you're saying. So don't say sweet things to your sweetie.
Or do your. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, okay. Word to the wise.
Yeah. What was that number? 1-900?
Roy, remember those Charles Atlas ads in the back of comic books? You know, I can make you a new man in only 15 minutes a day. Well, now kids looking for that extra physical advantage can now buy an instructional judo video, a lesson taught by whom?
Putin?
Yes, Putin. Very good. Let's learn.
American children?
Yes, American. Anybody.
Good God.
Let's learn judo with Vladimir is the name of the fourth.
Does Sarah Palin know about this?
Well, here's the funny thing. She hasn't seen the video, but she has endorsed it just based on sort of seeing the box from her home in Alaska.
Yeah.
I keep trying to throw them into Alaska from Russia.
It's called Learn Judo with Vladimir. It's the name of the forthcoming DVD. It features Putin, who is a black belt in judo, talking about the history and philosophy of judo. He also shows off some of his favorite judo throws, including the high leg wheel, the strangle hold on power, and the trick he's just mastered, the sweeping invasion of Georgia. Allison, a plumbing mistake in Marino, Italy, caused something to come out of people's faucets instead of water. What?
Mavericks.
Oh, somebody who was still playing the drinking game just got to take a
hot and cold running.
Just got
Mavericks.
A bump, baby. Right.
Something to come out of the drinking.
Yes.
It
is Italy.
We'll continue our theme. Wine.
Yes, wine. Very good.
Nuts.
Yeah. For the past 80 years, the town of Marino, Italy, has celebrated the annual wine harvest by rigging up the town's pipes to send 3,000 liters of wine gushing out of the fountain in their square. Except this year, when a plumber accidentally bypassed the fountain and instead misdirected the wine into people's homes. I noticed the smell of alcohol, said one resident. Wine is fine for drinking, but not for cleaning. So he says. Residents say, as unpleasant as this might have been, it was a big improvement over a similar incident at last year's mayonnaise festival.
It could have been a religious thing for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, wine.
Yeah.
Water into wine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It answered somebody's prayer. You know it did.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can send an email to waitwait@npr.org. You can also go to our website at waitwait.npr.org, where you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Auditorium in Chicago, where you can visit the NPR shop to pick up your Wait Wait tchotchkes. Hi, you're on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, this is Ammon Mitchell from Cedar City, Utah.
Hey, Ammon. Oh, Cedar City is where exactly?
It's down in the kind of the southwest of Utah.
Sure. So getting on toward Nevada and Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So do you ever go down to Las Vegas when you need to sort of let off some of that Utah steam?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been to Las Vegas. I've seen all the furtive Utahns. Right.
They call them experimenting Mormons. I've heard them referred to as that.
Well, welcome to our show, Ammon. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of the limericks, you will be a big winner. Ready to play?
Okay.
All right.
For my dad's car, I beg and I plead. Now he says I can drive. He's agreed. But he says, take it slow. I say, yes, Dad, I know, to make sure he controls the car's
speed.
Yes. The Ford Motor Company has introduced a feature called My Key, which parents can program to keep their teen driver's radio volume down, to beep constantly if the driver isn't wearing a seatbelt, to limit the speed of the car to 80 miles an hour. Teens hate the idea, but it's such a big hit with parents that Ford is now looking to add additional features, such as an ignition lock that doesn't release until the teen has given his mother a goodbye kiss, a door lock that doesn't work until the driver's shirt is tucked in, and an ejector seat that activates if that no-good Miller kid gets too handsy. Handsy. Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Here's your next limerick.
Is this great global downturn in wealth just the doctor's subliminal stealth? With less time for work, some for me time's a perk, and this can be good for my
health.
Right. Good news for the unemployed or those about to be unemployed. Turns out the lousy economy may be good for your health. A new study from Stanford shows that in good times, people tend to live it up too much, doing unhealthy things like earning a living and eating food. But in bad times, people tend to stay home with the kids, making smaller meals and exercising by rushing to the mailbox over and over again to look for relief checks. President Bush said, quote, yeah, that's the ticket. It was an exercise program. That's right. Now do you like me? Please. Here, sir, is your last limerick.
The sidewalk can be like a cage. Close quarters make moods hard to gauge. When people don't walk, but just talk, stand and gawk, then some of us get pavement.
Hmm.
I want to see change or something like that.
No.
Can you give it to him one more time? You messed up, Carl.
Oh, I see. You're a little behind, so you get angry. I've seen that before.
I'm kidding.
Where did you get your message?
All right, here we go. The sidewalk can be like a cage. Close quarters make moods hard to gauge. When people don't walk, but just talk, stand, and gawk, then some of us get pavement.
Oh, man. You didn't mess that one up this time.
No.
I want to say...
Rhymes with gauge and cage.
Wage?
Wage, no. How about rage?
Oh.
Rage. Pavement rage. Road rage is not just for people in cars anymore. Scottish city councillor Jason Rust recently told BBC Scotland News a harrowing story. He said he went to get a sandwich for lunch and was caught in a crush of people, quote, walking along at a snail's pace, stopping every few seconds. Rust naturally was filled with a rage that would turn a lesser man into an angry green Hulk. Mm-hmm. But instead, Rust is seeking legislation to solve the problem by dividing the sidewalk into two lanes. A fast lane for busy, important men such as himself, and a slow lane for aimless, meandering losers. Carl, how did Ammon do in our quiz?
Ammon had two correct answers, Peter. That's enough to be a winner.
Well done, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for playing.
All right. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer, now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Roy Blunt Jr. and Allison Stewart each has 3 points. Tom Baudette has 2.
All right. Tom, you're in third place, so you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. In an attempt to stimulate the economy, the Federal Reserve slashed blanks on Wednesday.
Interest rates.
Right. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell was named as a possible character witness in Senator Blank's corruption trial.
Ted Stevens.
Right. Federal officials raided a South Carolina chicken processing plant and arrested approximately 300 blanks.
Illegal immigrants.
Right. The Treasury Department tapped Neil Kashkari, a 35-year-old metalhead and Cleveland Browns fan, to head up the blank.
That $700 billion capital implementation, whatever they're...
Bailout by any other name.
There you go. There you
go. A British tourist was involved in an hour-long chase with police in Tokyo after they caught him blanking.
Driving on the wrong side of the street.
No, they caught him skinny-dipping in the moat of the Imperial Palace. Shock Jock Blank got married and celebrated by getting a wedding tattoo.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Stearns. Howard
right.
Stearns.
Cartoonist Berkeley Breathitt announced that he was retiring and ending his strip about the beleaguered penguin Blank.
Opus.
Right. A thief who was videotaped as he broke into a police car in Britain was easily captured because he had Blank.
He broke into because he had his picture taken on the video.
No, yeah, they yeah. captured him quite easily because he had his name and birth date tattooed on his neck. Police had no doubt that Aaron Evans was their man because his ID was right there for all the world to see. However, because Evans had neglected to include his address and phone number in his tattoo, police were forced to walk all the way over to the phone book before arresting him. Carl, how did Tom do in our quiz?
Tom had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and Tom has the lead.
Thank you, sir. Very well done. We flipped a coin. Allison has elected to go next. So here we go, Allison. Fill in the blank. The Tennessee man who hacked into Blank's email was indicted by a federal grand jury on Tuesday.
Oh, Sarah Palin.
Right. China adopted new rules regulating the amounts of the chemical melamine that is allowable in Blank.
Dog food?
No, milk.
Milk.
AIG received harsh criticism for planning a $430,000 blank just days after it received money for the bailout.
Spa retreat.
Yes. This week, the National Rifle Association came out in support of Blank for president.
John McCain.
Right. Palin killed in her debate. It was her evening. She was the star. It was a great review attributed to Blank in an online ad from the McCain campaign.
Famous person.
Exactly. Quote, famous person, unquote. Actor Blank escaped unharmed from a fire that gutted his Malibu home on Tuesday.
Oh, don't know.
Nick Nolte. Owners of the National Debt Clock in Times Square are scrambling because the growing debt has caused the clock to blank.
Be too short. They
right.
need to add digits.
They ran out of digits. 90 students in Montana were given medical treatment after a parent brought a blank to school for show and tell.
Oh, wait, I know, oh. A parent brought a blank. I don't know.
A dead rabid bat.
Oh, I thought it was a snake.
The Montana mother found her cat with a dead bat in its mouth. She thought the obvious thought, this would be perfect for show and tell at my kid's school. So she scooped up the dead mammal and hurried off to the local elementary school where she showed the dead bat to 5 classrooms of students, encouraging them all to touch it. These students will now have rabies shots, and the school has implemented a strict anti-dead rabid bat policy. Something interesting just happened, Allison. For the first time in the 10-year history of the show, somebody almost said the phrase, wait, don't tell me, and meant it. Which has, like I said, never happened before. It would have been interesting. You know what's funny? As somebody says, the moment somebody says that and really means it, the show ends. Oh. You disappear. Okay.
Well, then I'm glad I didn't say it.
Carl, how did Allison do in our quiz?
Allison had 5 correct answers, Peter, for 10 more points. She now has 13, but Tom Beaudet still has the lead with 14 points.
All righty then. So there Tom stands in the lead. How many does Roy need to beat him?
6.
6 right. questions. Ooh. Here we go.
All right.
Here we go. Roy, this is for the game. Here we go. According to a Treasury source, the Bush administration is considering taking part ownership in some U.S. blanks.
No, it's banks, not
banks. Banks. Thank you very much. According to a South Korean newspaper, Blank deployed 10 missiles on its west coast for a test launch.
According to South Korea?
Yeah.
North Korea.
Right. On Thursday, John McCain released a web ad describing Blank as a domestic terrorist and linking him to Barack Obama.
Way up there.
Right. For their research of glowing jellyfish genes, 3 scientists were awarded the Blank in chemistry.
Nobel Prize.
Right. On the day after the presidential debate, John McCain accidentally addressed a crowd in Pennsylvania as Blank.
Oh, my fellow prisoners.
Right. A representative for Jamie Lynn Spears denied reports that the 17-year-old is blank again.
Oh, my gosh. Pregnant.
Not true, what she says. Newsweek came under fire for running an unretouched cover photo of Blank.
Sarah Palin, and she still looked hot.
Here you are. The Obama campaign seemed to go through a major transformation this week when, at a rally in Tampa, a speaker announced Senator Obama's running mate as blank.
Announced him as Joanna Biden.
No. Listen for yourself.
No matter what your party, gender, or race or religion, please help me today in welcoming the next Vice President of the United States, John McCain. Oh.
Yeah. Carl, did Roy do well enough to win?
He needed 6 correct answers to win. Roy had 7 Ooh. Correct answers.
Oh!
With 17 nice points, Roy Blunt Jr. is this week's champion.
Well done, Roy. You must feel good about that come-from-behind victory, because the polls had you down in all the swing states until this very moment. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what will be the big October surprise that will rock the presidential race. But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the members of the National Association of Realtors working on behalf of America's residential and commercial property owners on the web at Realtor.com, the Melville Charitable Trust supporting efforts to find and fight the causes of homelessness on the web at MelvilleTrust.org, and the Pew Charitable Trusts examining the paths to opportunity in a new report from its Economic Mobility Project at PewTrusts.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio. In association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Goedeke writes our limericks. Our intern is Ann Cadigan. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Our technical director is Lorna White. Other engineers include Robert Newhouse, Les Dolarchik, and Muhammad Mao. Our house manager is Don Hall, thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is directed by Melody Kramer and produced by Emily Ecton. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what will be this election's big October surprise? Tom Baudet.
It's revealed that Obama's pal Bill Ayers used to pal around with one Arnold Landry, who was college roommates with Mitch Patton, whose mother used to drink Bloody Marys on Sundays at the country club with the mother of none other than Rush Limbaugh, alienating the Democratic base and throwing the election to McCain.
Allison Stewart.
After warbling a certain tune at a town hall meeting with his very own lyrics, John McCain decides to chuck it all and become the lead singer of the Beach Boys.
And Roy Blunt Jr.
Bob. The Obama campaign will reveal that on the previous weekend, Sarah Palin accidentally shot, field dressed, and cooked that same lawyer that Dick Cheney shot.
But she finished the job!
Well, if any of those surprises occur, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carol Castle. Thanks also to Roy Blunt Jr., Allison Stewart, and Tom Baudet. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR, National Public Radio.